some of you may be familiar with the story of John Newton. I talk about him from time to time, maybe once or twice every single year. This is a man who wrote that famous hymn, Amazing Grace. But he didn't start his life writing that kind of a song. See, he actually started his adult life working on slave ships, even captaining some of those slave ships. John espoused free-thinking principles. He was a crusty guy, foul-mouthed, arrogant, insubordinate, living with moral abandon. He even said of himself, quote, I sinned with a high hand. Yet during a terrifying storm on the high seas, John recalled a passage from Proverbs that says, because I've called and ye have refused, I also will laugh at your calamity. He converted during that storm and later left the slave trading business. In 1787, Newton helped William Wilberforce, there we go, say that three times. He helped Wilberforce with the abolition of slavery in England. And in his old age, when it was suggested that this increasingly feeble, old, fiery Christian man retire, he replied, I cannot stop. What? Shall the old African blasphemer stop while he can still speak? John Newton, his past, his present, and his future. I want to welcome you back to our series that's titled The Connecting Church. This is where we're going through the book of Colossians, and we're allowing God to lead us into the importance of connecting with Him and connecting with one another. Continuing in his letter, you can turn to Colossians 1. Paul is writing to the church, and he's reminding us, like John Newton, that we all have a past. We all have a present. And we all have a future. Colossians 1, verse 21. Once you were alienated, meaning at one time you were permanently separated from God. And you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Man, we're starting out today just going at it, aren't we? Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. So like John Newton, each of us has a story. We all have a story, and all of our stories really are unique. How we were brought up, kind of the wins and the losses that we had in our lives, of course, how we came to Christ, all of those stories are unique. I was brought up by my mom and dad. That was a real blessing. They're still married to this day, an extreme blessing. We always had a roof over our heads, another amazing blessing. We had an old truck. I'm just recalling that, though, right now. We had this old truck, and it was back in the day, okay, when the laws were a little different, and they would throw us, they had a camper shell on it, and they would just throw us in the back of the truck, kind of like Beverly Hillbillies, and we would drive, you know, from place to place around town. That was way back in the day. My dad owned a little gas station in a little backwater town called Shakopee, Minnesota. But anyway, I'm getting off into the weeds here. But anyway, we all have that past, right? That's kind of how I grew up. My parents came to Christ when I was just a young guy, maybe kindergarten, first grade. And then the summer between my fifth and sixth grade years at a camp called Birchhaven, I found this picture from it. I almost started crying, but anyway, I really didn't cry about that. But at Birchhaven Christian Camp, between my fifth and sixth grade year, this is where I accepted Christ and gave my life to Him as my Lord and my Savior, and even got baptized in the Holy Spirit, all in one camp, man. It was an amazing time, obviously, in my life. We all have our unique stories. However, in many ways, we really all have the same story. We really all have the same past. And Paul points that out in this statement in Colossians 1, 21. We all have something in common, and that's called sin. We all have that past in common. Sin. The same past. We were all alienated from God. Look around the room. You're not the only one. Everyone in this room, including the guy on the stage talking really loud right now, we were all alienated from God. There was a time when we were separated from God, completely cut off from God. No relationship, no intimacy whatsoever. Isaiah 59:2 says it this way. Check this out. But your iniquities, that's our sins, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. We all have that same past, alienated from God. We all have the same past. We were enemies in our minds, enemies of God in our thinking. There was a time when we hated the things that God loves. There was a time that we loved the things that God hates. We've all been there. We all have that in common in our past. We all have the same past. We were all evil in our behavior. Look around and tell, no, don't tell somebody they were evil. No, don't do that. We're not going to do that today at church. Let's get to the present, then we can start speaking words over each other. But we were all evil in our behaviors, every one of us. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all really do have the same past. It's bad, it's a dark place, a lost, destructive place, hell-bound place. So we look at this passage of Scripture as Paul's writing to the church to encourage the church, and we're like, Paul, why are you bringing this down? Why do you want to remind us of how bad it used to be? Because many times we have to look back to the past so that we can appreciate how far we've come. Really, so that we can appreciate how far God's amazing grace has brought us. There are times when God calls us to look back. We need to look back to be reminded of how big God is and how big he's been in our lives. Paul loves to compare and contrast the past and the present, the then and the now. He does it throughout his writings to the church. And I just want to review some of those, because I'm believing it's going to get us excited, because it's going to tell our story a little bit about where we've been, but remind us about where we are right now. He wrote this to Titus, to encourage Titus, who was discipling churches. He said, at one time, that's the past, right? At one time, once, at one time, we too were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But, that's a change, right? It's a change moment. That's a suddenly. But, that's a turnaround. 360, right? That's a turnaround. But, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, not when we pulled ourselves up from our own bootstraps, not when we just figured out life and how to get it all together. No, but when the kindness and the love of God showed up and our Savior appeared in our lives, he saved us. He saved us. Has he saved you? Come on, let's thank him for that. He saved us, church. He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he has this message for us even today. He says, for you once, past tense, back in the day, you were living in darkness. Back in the day. But now you are light in the Lord. Do you know that about yourself in Christ Jesus? You're light in the Lord. You're not an embarrassment to him. You're not someone he wants to hide or disown. But now in Christ, you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. Man, I love worship this morning. I mean, Jake, you had us singing all these songs about our identity in Christ Jesus and who we are now in Christ. Because God's our Father and Christ is our Savior and everything has changed. We're children of light. Let's live that way. What a blessing. The past was real. I'm going to raise my hand and say it was really ugly. The past was really ugly. But brothers and sisters, are you still living in the past? Are you still holding on to the past? Are you still carrying yourself and calling yourself by your old name? I'm just a sinner, head down, walking around. Are you still believing that you're powerless, unable to beat sin? Do you still wake up every morning and going, well, it's probably going to be another day where sin's going to overtake me and I'm going to hate myself because of it? Are you still feeling condemnation because of the things that you did in the past? That's not what God wants for us. That's not why he's bringing the past up right here in Colossians 1:21. He's wanting to remind us that that's where we used to be. That's what we used to be called. That's how powerless and separated we used to be. But now everything has changed. Yes, it's good to look back to the past, to know and to be reminded of God's amazing grace that's brought us to the present. But God never wants us to live in the past. He doesn't want us to be thinking in the past. He doesn't want us to be identifying with the past. We have been made new, but now everything has changed in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness, God says, and will remember their sins no more. No more. This is why Paul quickly takes us right out of verse 21 of Colossians 1. Takes us from the past into the present. So you ready to run into the present? Come on now. We just looked at the past for a moment to be reminded how awesome the present is. Check this out. Verse 22, Colossians 1. But now, I want you to say that after me. Say, but now.
Yeah.
One more time. But now.
Yeah.
All right. But now God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Is that good news? There was a then, but there's a now. And this is the now. Reconciled is the present tense in our lives because we're in Christ Jesus. Now Jesus has reconciled us, restored our relationship with the creator of the universe, the one who created us, the one who loves us and has called us into eternal relationship with him. And we've been reconciled now through Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the resurrected one. Jesus showed up in our lives. Amen? He showed up and everything changed. We didn't just add him on like a little click-on add-on, an accessory. No, he showed up and whoa, it all changed. Wow, right? Whoa. We're no longer alienated from God. We're no longer enemies in our minds. We're no longer evil in our behavior because now we are in Christ Jesus reconciled. Let's say it again. But now.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But now. Paul said it this way to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians 2:13, he said, but now, he likes that, doesn't he? I do too. Can you tell I like that, but now? Oh man, all week I'm just like, but now, God, but now, he says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, so understand that, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. We've been brought near through the blood of Jesus. So how did everything change? What's the special secret sauce, if you want to say it that way? Maybe that's not the holy way to say it or whatever, but what was that that caused the change? What made all the difference in the world? What transitioned us from the past to the glorious present? I want you to jump back a couple verses in Colossians 1:19 and 20. Let's look at this. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in his Son Jesus. And through him, through Jesus, to reconcile to himself, there's that word again, reconcile, to restore that relationship, to reconcile to himself all things. That includes us, whether things on earth or things in heaven. How? How does he do this? By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We have peace with God, meaning our relationship is restored, reconciled with him. But this peace, this reconciliation, only comes one way, through the blood of Christ Jesus, his Son, that was spilled on that hill called Calvary, on that cross. That's the one and only way that this reconciliation, this but now reality, happens in our lives, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that covers us, that changes us, that makes all things new. Here's a story that I found this week. Things were supposed to go a different way this year at the Venice Marathon. It would have been little surprise if one of Kenya's world-renowned runners would have won the race. And in fact, two of the Kenyan runners were at the head of the pack 16 miles into this marathon. Then they took a wrong turn. They went the wrong way. The favorites ultimately, and the fastest, let's say that too, the favorites and the fastest ultimately lost out. They lost this race to a local runner. This was only his second marathon ever in his life, but the local runner knew the way, and he ran the right way. He wasn't the fastest, but he took the way, the right way, and he found the victory. It's the same way with us in Christ. We get the victory by taking the one way. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, declares Jesus. No man comes to the Father except through me. So I have a question this morning. Have you connected with salvation that's found this one way through Christ Jesus? Has your relationship with God been reconciled, been made new? Can you say, but now, I'm a new creation? It's no accident that you're here today hearing this message, this truth from God's Word. He's speaking to you, and he's calling you into that but now moment to know new life that's found one way through the resurrected Son, Jesus Christ, his blood spilled for you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make all things new. And I hope that you do that this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity for that in a little bit. And so in Christ, there's a new reality. Everything changes. Aren't we glad about that? I mean, everything changes, not just a little bit. Everything changes. We used to be separated enemies of God. That's the past. But now, through Jesus, everything has changed. We have a new present. And Paul says this. He says these crazy statements about our present state, our present condition. He says, but now, you who were alienated, aliens, evil behaving people, but now in Christ Jesus, you are holy in God's sight. That's like scandalous when we look at our past, right? How can that be done? Because that's the blood of Jesus. That's the powerful grace that comes from Jesus Christ. Holy means set apart. Because of the work of Christ in our lives now, we've been taken from being alienated, shoved away, disconnected from God, to instead being set apart by him, for him, for now and forever. Like that precious jewel, that precious keepsake that you want to protect and put in that special place in your home, set apart. by him, by the Creator. Now. But now. But now we are made perfect. Maybe you don't feel perfect today, but he's made you perfect. We're walking into it. It's called that process of sanctification. Taking off the old, bringing on the new, continuing to surrender day by day by day to the will of God. And we talked about a couple weeks ago when we find the will of God. Where? In the Word of God. We submit to His will. We submit to His Word. And God keeps chiseling off the old and putting on the new. And man, we just keep looking and sounding and whatever, better and better and better. Some of you are looking really good this morning. I'm just saying. Anyway. We're made perfect. Isaiah 1:18 says it this way. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Cleansed. Made perfect. That's who we are. Because we're in Christ Jesus. But now, we are free from accusation. There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. No more condemnation for us. When the enemy is whispering in your ear, you're still a dirty, rotten, sinning scoundrel, you can say, you're a liar. For there's no condemnation in me. I've been made new. I'm a saint. Oh, God's still working on me. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not that old man. I have been made new. And the blood of Christ doesn't just do things halfway and partially. He fully works on me. And I will walk in the new identity and reality and promise that God has spoken over my life. There's no condemnation for in me. No condemnation because I'm in Christ Jesus. Can't put that back on us. But Paul wants this dramatic transition from the bleak past to the amazing, glorious present. He wants it to not stop there. He wants this amazing transition that he's already done in our lives to affect our future. He wants it to affect our future. So we've connected with our past. We've connected with our present. And now it's time to connect with our future. Let's go back, though, to verse 22 so we can see how this connection works from the present to the future with Christ Jesus. But now Jesus has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Verse 23 starts like this, so it says, if. But now he's done all this stuff. If you continue into the future. But if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So, we once were alienated from God. We are now reconciled to God. What's next? Paul is encouraging us to connect with our future that involves ongoing pursuit of God. That's our future. That's what we're called to. The but now in our life, that amazing, glorious transition from that dirty, ugly, rotten past into that cleansed, reconciled present should launch us into waking up every morning pursuing the very one who rescued us, saved us, reconciled us. And Paul says, because of what Christ has done, let that launch you into a future of pursuing him, continuing in your faith day by day by day by day. I love it. The Lord reminded me that of our vision statement right here when I was writing this. He said, you know, that's why I've called you at Evident Life Church to be a people of prayer, pursuing God and loving others. And all three of those things, it's no joke. I mean, this is the call of God on this church, to be a people of prayer. We're going to continue going after God in that place of prayer. Going after Him, praying big prayers. Faith-filled prayers. Push the envelope kind of prayers. But we're going to also continue to be those people who are really pursuing Him. Going after God. I don't want to leave anything. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to walk from this life into eternity with things left undone, with opportunities, with experiences with God left because I didn't pursue Him, because I didn't go at Him. I don't want to leave people on this earth not knowing Jesus just because I wasn't pursuing God day by day by day by day. And so Paul says, since you've been transformed in this way and reconciled in this way, continue in your faith. This wasn't a one-time decision, a one-time thing. This is a new life in Christ Jesus where everything and every day has changed. The Lord told me this week, He said, it's not really how we start that matters. It's how we end. So I hear something from the Lord and I say, okay, God, show me the scripture to back that up. And He said, Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And I've got a really good example of that. Everybody's thinking about the Super Bowl right now. Well, on January 3rd, 1993, the Buffalo Bills and who used to be called the Houston Oilers, they met. Yeah, that was back in the day, right? Houston Oilers, remember them? They met in an NFL wild card playoff game. The Bills had a horrific start. They found themselves trailing at halftime 28-3, and it only got worse as they started the second half. They found themselves down 35-3 in just a few minutes into that half. But the game wasn't over, and the Bills wouldn't quit. I know this doesn't seem very scriptural or anything, but I'm going to say it again because it's important for us to realize this. But the game wasn't over, and the Bills didn't quit. You're going to find out the importance of that here in just a moment. See, something changed because they didn't quit. Something clicked, and the Bills went on a second half scoring tear. I mean, everything was working. 4 touchdown passes. They tied the game in regulation, and then they won it in overtime. This 32-point comeback remains the largest comeback in NFL playoff history. The win is now well known, so well known that it's just referred to as the comeback. The comeback. The game isn't over. We aren't going to quit. That's what they were saying. That's what their coach was telling them. The game isn't over. We aren't going to quit. And I want to declare that over our lives right now, over the church. The game isn't over. We aren't going to quit. We woke up today. By God's grace, we will wake up tomorrow. The game isn't over. We're still on the field that God has placed us on in the positions He's given us. The game is not over, and we're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. And it's not really how we start that matters. It's how we end. And so Paul is this coach coaching us, the church, and he's saying, don't quit. You had the amazing but now moment. It's awesome, but don't quit. Don't stop there. That's just the beginning. Keep going. He said, don't quit. We go, well, it seems impossible. It's not all changing. I still got this other junk that it's still not gone. He says, don't quit. The game isn't over. Don't quit. God's still working with you. He still has a plan. His promises are still true. But it's hard. It's hard. Don't quit. Don't quit. If you don't quit, I believe this is a word from the Lord. Say it to me this week. If you don't quit, you win. Come on, right? There's a song that goes by that just kept jumping in my head. If you don't quit, you win. If you don't quit, you win. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, we have eternal victory. Eternal victory. If we remain on the field, we will win. Jesus said it this way, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. So check this out. Tanzania's John Stephen Akwari, he limped across the finish line in this race. He was injured by a fall earlier. Asked why he didn't quit, he said this. He said, "My country didn't send me 7,000 miles to start the race. My country sent me to finish." Christ didn't reconcile us to God to just start the race and then quit. He did his work in our lives so that we would finish and finish well. And sometimes we do feel like we're limping. Sometimes it does feel like we've been hit hard. But we don't quit. We get up by His grace and we keep running this race. By His amazing grace. That was like a Dr. Seuss rhyme, wasn't it? I didn't even plan that. That was amazing. Amen. So we all have a past, every one of us. We all have a present. And we all have a future. How will we finish? There's the question. How will we finish? The only way to finish is the same way we started in that but now moment, isn't it? Not by might, nor by our own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's how we finish. We finish surrendered, transformed, and alive in Christ all day and every day. Are we so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are we now trying to attain our goal by human effort? Oh no, not us. We're not going to do that. For we know how we began. We know who did that great and mighty work in our lives. And we will continue in Him, leaning into His work and His move in our lives. And when things are hard, we will not take it into our own hands. But we will seek God, pursue Him. And we will allow His work to be continued and completed in our lives. He who began a good work in us is faithful, church, to complete it. He is faithful to complete that which He has started in and through our lives. So we won't quit. And because we won't quit, we will find the completion. And along the way of this race, we will experience the glory of God as He is transforming us from glory to glory to glory. It's a joy to run this race. It's a joy to get back up. It's our joy to love Him and to follow Him. Who began the good work in your life? You can answer that. Who began the good work in your life? Jesus began it, didn't He? Who's faithful to complete that good work in your life? He's faithful. Our role as we move into our future is to trust and obey. Simple. Well, the flesh wants to battle against that and not make it so simple right now, right? But we will not live by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And we will trust and obey. We will continue in Christ, not moved, holding on to the hope held out for us in the gospel.